From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, what is it, already March 19th in the year of our Lord, 2018, hour 2 at 2. The goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great solutions for peaceful restoration that we have left. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a delightful weekend. Wow. We had our guest on Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org and RonPaulInstitute.org last hour. We talked about this testimony from Corey Badsgard, his testimony about these psychotropic drugs and how evil they are. We talked about the movie I Can Only Imagine. Have you gone to see it yet? Do you even know about it? Incredible movie. I'm going to see it. Highly recommend you do the same. By the way, did you know that Hollywood and the liberal media, they don't want you to know the true story about how a law that's killed over 60 million people literally got passed by deception and fraud. Roe v. Wade. The movie is the real untold story about how people lied, about how the media lied, and about how the courts were manipulated to legalize abortion, murdering the most innocent among us. Well, now Facebook shut down that movie and their ability to raise funds for the movie. They say they're going to turn it back on. When? Who knows? Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. Incredible. Last hour, it'll be up soon, by the way. Now, we mentioned to you, how come we don't know these things? And how come we don't know what's going on with all this stuff? It's complicated, but it's the mainstream press gatekeeping that makes it very difficult for us to know. It takes digging to even be caught up on what's happening. Well, Ben Swan, who got shut down for well over a year after he reported on the Pizzagate fiasco and how there's real child molesting going on, even though the Pizzagate got blown up because some guy went in with a gun. And you got to wonder if that guy was on psychotropic drugs, too. Nevertheless, the Pizzagate story has some real legs to it, by the way. But anyway, Ben Swan got shut down for over a year. He finally came back. Truth in Media. And he's got reality checks. And he talks about an internet purge of dissenting voices. Listen to this.
Is there an internet purge of conservative voices or voices of dissension online? Now, some say yes, and that the purge is being pushed by YouTube, owned by Google, by Facebook, and by Twitter. Now, we've heard about censorship before, but is what is happening now really an all-out purge? Let's give it a reality check you won't get anywhere else.
Reality Check with Ben Swan, powered by Dash Digital Cash.
Well, you might be a fan, you might be disgusted by him, but there is no doubt that InfoWars founder and radio host Alex Jones is a lightning rod. His YouTube channel has over 2.2 million subscribers, more than 33,000 videos. Well, just days ago, Jones claimed that YouTube had begun a process of taking his channel down. On March 3rd, CBS reported that Jones tweeted that he had set up a new channel that the SPLC, or the Southern Poverty Law Center, wanted censored. In one of the videos on the channel called InfoWars Censored, Jones said, quote, "We're live on Facebook and on Twitter and on Periscope, but we cannot go live on the Alex Jones channel. It's been frozen for the third time in 1 week." Well, YouTube did confirm to CBS News that some advertisers had asked that their ads be pulled from Jones' channel, but there was no plan at present to remove the channel. Of course, all of this comes after YouTube announced in December that it would hire some 10,000 new moderators to flag content. And those moderators have been flagging at a stunning rate. But more than flagged, YouTube is outright banning channels. Some YouTube channels recently complained about their accounts being pulled entirely with no advance warning. In this latest case, YouTube seems to have been flagging content that was deemed either pro-gun or conservative content. According to The Verge, YouTube indicated that as the platform ramps up, human-powered moderation efforts with new moderators may have mistakenly removed or flagged right-wing videos and channels. Bloomberg reported the news, quoting YouTube spokesperson saying that, quote, "As we work to hire rapidly and ramp up our policy enforcement teams throughout 2018, newer members may misapply some of our policies, resulting in mistaken removals." The spokesperson said that YouTube's policies had not changed and that they will, quote, "reinstate any videos that were removed in error." Ah, so it's not a conspiracy. There is no question that, in fact, human moderators were pulling down right-wing or conservative content. The question is why? Because YouTube's push to control video content, just like Facebook, it's really nothing new. In fact, it has been happening for some time. Take, for instance, Mike Cernovich. He tweeted out that a video he had posted of Antifa protesters chanting death threats at a protest in D.C., it was taken down by YouTube because it violated community guidelines. To be clear, the video was about 30 seconds of an actual protest in D.C., and the language of the protesters violated community guidelines? That's called news, YouTube, but it was not allowed. Take Mike Adams. He is the founding editor of naturalnews.com. He announced March 3rd that, quote, YouTube has now deleted the entire Health Ranger video channel, wiping out over 1,700 videos, covering everything from nutrition, natural medicine, history, science, and current events. So why? Why is all of this happening? Is it all because YouTube is trying to control the internet? Maybe not. There is, in fact, a very coordinated effort by a number of organizations like Media Matters for America and the Southern Poverty Law Center to silence voices with which it does not agree. For instance, I know firsthand, as these organizations have really attacked me personally, trying to silence my voice. Full disclosure here, I am ideologically a libertarian, neither on the left or on the right. But groups, according to these groups anyways, I am alt-right, a dog whistle, which actually means a white nationalist, which I am not at all. But that doesn't stop them from slandering me. Because the goal of these organizations is what? It's actually to silence dissent, not just from the right, but from the left as well. In fact, to silence anyone who is not part of the establishment structure. They are attacked. Well, Facebook's going through a very similar process right now, with increased pressure to control voices on its platform. Remember in 2016, it was widely reported by several outlets, including Gizmodo, that Facebook workers routinely suppressed news stories of interest to conservative readers from the social network's influential trending news section. According to a former journalist who worked on the project, this individual says that workers prevented stories about the right-wing CPAC gathering, Mitt Romney, Rand Paul, and other conservative topics from appearing in the highly influential section, even though they were organically trending among the site's users. Twitter does the same thing. In December, Twitter announced strict enforcement of new rules on hateful conduct and abusive behavior. According to Politico, that provoked the first objections from some on the right, who called the steps Twitter purge. The company conceded at the time that, quote, we may make some mistakes and we are working on a robust appeals process. So what you need to know is that the YouTube and Facebook purges, they're really not a new problem. Mainstream media networks and newspapers have routinely pushed narratives in their newsrooms for decades. We all know that. Yet for some reason, Facebook and YouTube, which have far more influence than those networks, have now chosen to bend to pressure to try to control the narratives on their platforms. YouTube says this. They say their mission is to give everyone a voice and to show them the world. But the truth is, they're not doing that. The problem for any dissenting voice is that if you're using your voice on someone else's property, i.e. YouTube or Facebook, you're never going to have control of it. Which is why the next frontier must be decentralized platforms. Platforms like DTube and Steemit, built on blockchain technology. They will be the future of how content, the good, the bad, and the ugly, will be stored. And the efforts to silence dissenting voices, well, that will actually be the undoing of YouTube and Facebook. As for those of us who have a voice, you and me, well, if you do not object to YouTube and Facebook purging voices with which you do not agree, well, then just wait. Because if you are silent now, it may soon be the voices you do agree with that will also be silenced. And who then will be left to come to that defense? That's a reality check.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Swan doing a bang-up job on this. We're talking about it. We've talked about it. We've highlighted it. We've focused. We've been in the media longer than anybody, including Ben Swan. We've been around for 25 years telling the tale of liberty, ladies and gentlemen, and it takes finances to make it happen. Radio isn't free. It's expensive as all get out. To do radio right costs well over $100 an hour. We're on the radio 2 hours a day. That's $200 a day times 6 days. What's that? $1,200 a week? Hey, it probably costs $5,000 a month just to make this talk show happen if you talk about real costs. Because I work for free, it's a lot less expensive than that. But I'm telling you, we have got to have people help the new media take center stage. We have got to put our money where our mouth is, my fellow Americans, and we have got to reject this gatekeeping control of the mainstream press. Kurt, any final word from you on this? We talked about it all last hour, too, about, man,
yeah,
their gatekeeping control is tremendous.
It's really good stuff from Ben Swan. It's good to hear him. And he's even got a sponsor. So, you know, I mean, that's good to hear. And glad that he's on the ball.
Yeah, and he's a good friend. We like Ben. He spoke at some of our events. He's a great gentleman. But again, he's counting on Cast It or whatever this digital cash thing is. I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, to fund himself. And everybody believes these blockchain technologies are going to save us. I don't agree, Kurt. I mean, I'm grateful for them. I'm not saying there's no value in them, but I'm not so sure they're going to save us like people want to believe.
Yeah, I'd go with silver and gold, but it's Dash for Cash, I think is what he called it. But anyway.
Dash for digital cash, you know, or digital dash for cash. Anyway.
Something like that.
And I commend it. But again, I got WorldNet Daily just emailed me about another digital currency that they want to back, Kurt.
Well, they're advertisers is what's going on, and I'm sure they're
And they're also investors in the currencies, and they believe they're going to make a mint from them. And I hope they do, but I'm telling you, the boom can happen with a bust. Be very careful, my friends. And that's kind of why I haven't pushed so hard into YouTube and Facebook and some of these other technologies. I could, but I've just felt like, hey, why promote other distribution / economic engines, folks? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the debate, and we got to be careful. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the 10th Amendment, states' rights, and more. Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Tell all your friends, libertyroundtable.com, libertynewsradio.com. The Widow's Mite Radio Network needs your financial support. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, raw honey delivered directly to your door. To learn more, get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Listener Greg, Utah, you're on the radio.
Sam, thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, sir.
I would like to share some information with you about the 10th Amendment.
Please.
Well, let me read what it says. It says the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And I have here that the 10th Amendment will perhaps go down in history as the most significant of all the amendments, perhaps aside from the Second Amendment. The founding fathers were intellectual giants among men. They were well educated in political and politics and government. and were aware of the dangers posed by the federal government. George Washington profoundly said, and you're familiar with this quote, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." So over the years, the states have become vassals and pawns of the federal government. And the states have, we know that the states have rights or powers that are delegated to it by the Constitution, and the federal government is prohibited from usurping the power and authority of the states. So we refer to this as state sovereignty. And when the states have been abused by the federal government, for example, you're familiar with Amendment 3 of the U.S. of the state constitution in Utah, which defines marriage between a man and a woman, and the federal government says that amendment is unconstitutional. Well, how can the federal government have the authority to declare a provision of the state constitution as unconstitutional? They don't have that authority. And so we see there's problems. Also, with respect to the First Amendment, you know, you cannot even pray in a public school. You can't have a silent prayer. You can't talk about God. You can't have a Christmas tree. If you do have a tree, you have to call it a holiday tree. And so the federal government cannot interfere with the internal affairs of the state. And that's what's happening today. And so this is alarming to me, because if the states do not stand up to the federal government, if they don't oppose the tyranny and the oppression that's being imposed upon them, then who checks the federal government? Who checks their power? And so that responsibility lies with the states. And so the states have to stand up and defy the federal government. Otherwise, the agenda of the federal government or the national policy of the federal government will be upon the states, and the states will become nothing more than, like I said before, as pawns and vassals of the federal government. So the federal government has to operate within the Constitution. And Article 1, Section 8 clearly states that, clearly enumerates the powers of the federal government. They cannot overstep their boundaries, or constitutional boundaries.
I think you're spot on the point, Greg, but I think they've slowly but surely disassembled the checks and balances that made a great Republican. We've moved more to a democracy, and that's where our demise is coming from. The 17th Amendment's a great example, where the state legislative bodies used to elect senators so that the states had a seat at the federal table, if you will. That's number one, understanding that there's dual sovereignty between the states and the federal government. The federal government has a lot of power, but in its very limited, defined scope via the supreme law of the land, everything else is left to the states and to the people, as you wisely point out. And all the dual sovereignty granted is by the consent of the governed, meaning we the people, if you believe the Declaration of Independence. So the 17th Amendment's one way they've unwound this kind of dual sovereignty or this check and balance structure that we've had. That's one way. The second way is they've allowed the federal government to go on to dishonest money, fake currency. And then that way the federal government can create as much money as it wants. And then they basically, through financing and budgeting with strings attached, every state is on the dole. And when you're on the dole, every time you take the federal government money, there's strings attached. And so when you overturn the 17th Amendment and then you put everybody on the dole with strings attached, you've created an example where these people cannot stand up. Or they lose the money. They cannot stand up because the states don't have a seat at this table anymore. And they've literally intentionally unwound the incredible checks and balances that made America a constitutional republic. So there's my reasons for the demise. And we need to be cognizant and aware of it. Greg, you're spot on.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because the senators, they were supposed to represent the interests of the state. And then when they were elected by the people, they broke away from that, and now they represent the interests of the people as opposed to the state. So the states don't have any say in the national legislature. And the other thing is, I believe that the state of Utah receives about $500 million from the federal government. So do you expect the state to bite the hand that feeds them? So the state should oppose any tyranny from the federal government. And we're talking about the First Amendment. I mean, imagine this: you cannot pray in class. You can't even have a silent prayer. You can't have any banners that in the towns or cities that say Merry Christmas, because it offends people. And So the thing is crazy. It's just bizarre. And unless the state, unless the state stand up or defy the federal government, the game is pretty much up. I mean, some state has to go rogue on the federal government. And unless that happens, I don't see how we're going to prevail in our efforts to get the federal government to operate within the framework of the Constitution. I just feel that, the best way to do this would be, and you're familiar with this term, they call it resolutions of interposition or state nullification. And back in the early part of our history, you've heard of the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. Well, they drafted those resolutions because these states drafted the revolutions, Kentucky and Virginia, because they were opposed to the Alien and Sedition Act. Jefferson said this law was unconstitutional, and the state's not going to abide by this law, federal law. So we have examples in history where the states have taken action against the federal government. In particular, as I mentioned, they should read up on the Virginia and state resolutions. And so there's examples in our history where the states can't take a stand against the federal government. As I said before, who's going to check the federal government? So the states created the federal government. The states are superior to the federal government, and therefore they can act as a check upon the federal government. And
what I don't want to see, although I agree with your 10th Amendment stance, Greg, and I agree that the states need to stand up and they need to use nullification, one of the things I don't want to see, and a lot of people are saying, we've tried everything, nothing works, we've got to secede from the Union, or we've got to have an Article 5 convention, a CONCON, or a constitutional convention. I agree that those are in the Constitution, meaning an opportunity or an option. I think that's the nuclear option. I prefer your nullification 10th Amendment stance and the states stand up. I prefer we overturn the 17th Amendment and put it back in place where the states can elect their senators on the federal level. I'm for restoring the checks and balances and returning to the Constitution. Others are saying we got to throw the baby out with the bathwater and start over. And then I say, I don't like that option. And they say, oh, don't you believe in the Constitution? It's in the Constitution, Sam. And I say, yes, I do. Doesn't mean I believe in the nuclear option, though, even though I understand that it's possible. If a state created a federal government, a state can dissolve the federal government. That doesn't mean they ought to, is the point. Your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, I don't believe, I agree with you. The state should not succeed, a state or state should not succeed from the Union. I totally agree with that. And I'm opposed to an Article V convention because the leftist radicals and communists and socialists will be in control of that convention, and they will literally turn the Constitution upside down. They could abolish provisions of the Constitution, and that would be a dangerous precedent to have to deal with. So the Article V convention, I would not favor that. I'd be opposed to it because of the delegates who would be attending that convention. And if you look across the nation, there's only a handful of conservatives or constitutionalists, and they might not even be appointed as delegates to an Article V convention. So it would be, the convention would be controlled and manipulated by, like I said before, leftist, radical, socialists, and communists.
The point is the framework of the supreme law of the land is our friend. Just like marriage between a man and a woman is our friend. It's not that we can point to those as the problem. We can point to the fact that we're not obeying them as a problem. For example, most Americans don't even realize the option of nullification. Most Americans don't realize the 17th Amendment literally violated and broke apart some of the checks and balances that made America great. People don't understand the pure applications of the solutions really is the problem. We got to restore God, family, and country. We got to protect life, liberty, and property. And what better framework to do that than the supreme law of the land that's created more freedom for more people in the history of the world than any other? There's no better plan.
No, I agree. So state nullification would be probably the only or vital option that we have. And we have to enlighten and educate the people that would be perhaps the best way to go about acting as a check upon federal usurpation and tyranny.
All right. Do you have more? Do you want to stay there, Greg, or you want to fly?
Well, I guess I can fly, but I just want to thank thanks for having me on.
You betcha. Thank you, sir. We'll have Kurt's response and add to this in seconds, as well as some folks are moving out of the country, and I say good riddance. We'll tell you about it in seconds. Sam and Kurt, Liberty Roundtable, live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Sam and Kurt on your radio. By the way, this half hour is brought to you in part by GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for Patriots, please think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. All right, Kurt, what do you think of Greg's commentary? Do you want to add to it? Basically talking about this 10th Amendment provides incredible solutions. Boy, is he right.
Yeah. Good point. You're right on target, as he is. And, you know, think about it. The way it is these days, at least the way, you know, most folks act, is that as if the federal government created the states, and yet, you know, it's completely the opposite. You know, and like he brought up about our marriage amendment here in Utah, there shouldn't be any federal overreach to tell us, oh, you know, we can't do that. That's just not the way it's supposed to be.
Amen to that. A lot of people think they're patriotic if they turn their back on the United States, Kurt.
Well, you know, I think you and I disagree a little bit on this, at least in my opinion. The whole secession idea was basically how America started, seceding from Great Britain. You've got folks in California want to secede from California and start their own state. And I pretty much, you know, at least understand very well what they're saying, and many times agree with them. You've got states like Texas and others that feel like, hey, the federal government's just out of control, and they want to basically control their own I guess you could say, destiny. Arizona in the past had said, hey, if that federal debt gets above $6 trillion, we're just out of here. And I think
by the way, now we're at $21 trillion and they're not talking.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, I do agree that it would sure be nice to straighten up things like it is. It kind of reminds me of the same argument about the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. I'm pretty much for eliminating all the parties, but I understand the idea that says, hey, you know, you got to be in there participating in a party. I understand that, but part of me says, man, they're almost just too... too far gone, and you wonder if the same argument couldn't fit when it comes to the federal government. I understand the issues on both sides of the coin.
Yeah, you're right. I agree. And when we say we disagree on something, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know that Kurt and I completely disagree. I think what we're trying to do is advocate for maybe a different focus on some things. It's not that we're totally disagreeing. Rather, we're highlighting different important points. For example, you know, Lowell's a hardcore Republican. I'm more of a third-party guy. Kurt wants to get rid of all the parties. Well, I agree with Kurt. Okay? But I'm
all the Republicans, though, were like Lowell, I'd be on that big time.
I agree with that. Sure. And that's why I say, though, that I think a third party is the answer, because at least, again, it's still a party, so it's not a perfect solution. The better one is Kurt's, which is get rid of all the parties. I agree. I just don't know that that's on the table as easy as the third party's on the table. It's kind of like education. I say shut down the whole dang thing. Kurt says, yeah, but if we could at least have an option where the money's spent. Now, Kurt
first,
agrees with
I agree that says shut down the whole thing.
That's
but
right.
If that's not one of the options, then I say, well, at least we can go with the voucher kind of thing where you introduce some more competition into it.
That's right.
You know, that kind
and of that's
thing.
Good. And so whether it's education, whether it's this discussion about parties, whether it's seceding from the union, see, I agree that the states, if they created the federal government, can secede if they want to. Although they've tried it, and it didn't work out very well. A half a million people dead over the, 1860s effort for that. So I don't think it's a very good choice, only because I think it'll be very bloody and not very fun. I do support the fact that the states have that authority, though. From a fundamental point of view, I completely agree. I'm just not so sure that it's the best answer. It's the same discussion with the ConCon people. I don't think it's the best solution. I think the 10th Amendment and the Nullify Now is a much better road. That's just my opinion, but I don't know that I disagree with those people. I just don't think it's the solution to be advocated for. And I bring this up with regards to taxes, too. Kurt and I don't disagree on taxes. We would like to see them abolish all unconstitutional taxes and embrace all constitutional taxes. However, I want to abolish the IRS and replace it with nothing. Kurt would like that option, but he also says, and I think wisely so, and this is where I think we can learn from each other, and I think where we really need this honest debate, that's the genius of America. Kurt would say, hey, abolish all taxes, replace them with one small transaction tax that wouldn't be abusive to anybody, that would raise the proper money for government, and it would be a zero-sum game, meaning that you know what, we don't even have to have my plan to reduce the scope of the money of government. Kurt would say, you know, hey, we want to get there for sure. But in this case, let's at least simplify it. Let's at least streamline it. Let's at least make it transparent and easy to understand. And you know what? There's validity to that point. So I bring this up, Kurt, because I'm not so sure we disagree on all these points. I think we're advocating for certain ideas. And I think this is the genius of America to discuss this, to work through it, to debate it, to weigh the pros and cons. And I for the longest time, have just said no answer but shutting down government schools is the way to go. But now I'm learning that, you know what, there might be other options that I agree aren't as good, but they might be a whole lot more on the table. Well, there's value in discussing what has potential and what has solutions in this idea that we can incrementally move the needle towards liberty. And I think that we're learning from each other that that's the way to go. Oftentimes, I know we want patience and we want it now, but the incremental efforts towards liberty is good. And so I just want to highlight that because I'm not so sure we completely disagree as much as we're highlighting different aspects of this of these discussions and kind of weighing the pros and cons. And, for example, I'm more of a third party guy, like the Independent American Party or the Constitution Party. But I like no parties. But if I'm involved in no parties, I can't even participate. In fact, I wouldn't even be able to vote for Kurt Crosby because he is on a party ticket. Right. It depends on how extreme you get. But I think that the debate and the fleshing out of these ideas so that people can learn to critically think and evaluate things and learn to understand when something's good, support it. When something's bad, reject it. Even if it's not perfect, even though it's not the Holy Grail, still stand for it. And I think these discussions are valuable, Kurt. I really do.
By the way, our buddy Carlton Bowen signed up to run for office again.
Yeah, he's on the Independent American Party just like you are, right?
No, I think he's a Republican when I saw him on there.
Oh, is he? All right. Yeah. So then you and him are, you know, going to battle.
He's got a chance of winning, you know what I mean?
You and him are going to battle? Well, it depends on if enough
he's in a different one besides me.
Yeah, he's in a different district than Kurt.
Yeah.
And on a different party than Kurt.
Yes.
But I would say you and Carlton agree on almost everything, Kurt.
I think so.
When you say, you know, hey, what kind of a Republican is that? Well, hey, Carlton Bowen's a kind of a Republican that Kurt would be, or that I would even be.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm not rejecting the party platforms. I'm rejecting how the parties have run off the rails. But I would step back.
The Orrin Hatches, the Mitt Romneys, you know,
absolutely.
That, in my opinion, jump in and try to take over something that was pretty good in the first place.
But pretty good, but yet with a fundamental starting flaw, as you point out, Kurt.
Yeah,
the parties as a whole are the flaw.
And that was George Washington who really pointed that out.
You know, one of the greatest generals this country's ever known. By the way, he believed in a humble foreign policy too, Kurt.
Yes, he did.
Just so everybody knows, Ron Paul and George Washington, they're almost identical on their foreign policy, and that would be my foreign policy too, Kurt.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to highlight, though, that even when Sam and Kurt get into a little of a tiff on the air about something, we're merely advocating for points in this debate and this discussion. I'm not so sure when at the end of the day, when we really double down, I think we agree on almost everything. We might disagree on, okay, we're going to agree we're going to go to this restaurant to eat. We might disagree on the best route to get there. I might say, take the back roads, Kurt. It's faster. And Kurt will be like, no, at this time of day, the freeway's better. Okay. But at the end of the day, we agree. Even if we might disagree in slight semantics or some of the details. I'm not disagreeing with Lowell because he believes rebuilding the Republican Party from within is the answer. I think there are other viable options, and I'm not so sure which is best. I'm grateful for everybody working everywhere, and I'm most importantly grateful for the platform that we have to discuss this and educate and let the people decide what they think is best for them to put their money into, for them to put their efforts behind. This is a valuable discussion, Kurt, and I'm not so sure it's a matter of somebody being right and somebody being wrong as much as it's opportunity and exploration and solutions and bringing these issues to the table. Ben Swan's a libertarian, Kurt, and he's neither of the Independent American Party, the Constitution Party, the Republican Party, or no party. He's a libertarian. But yet, you know what? I agree with him on so much. Becky Akers comes on. She's an anarchist. She doesn't want any government at all. Mm-hmm. But yet, at the same time, I find myself agreeing with her far more than I disagree, Kurt.
Yep.
Anyway, I just wanted to highlight that because, again, I don't want there to be negative feelings about, hey, Sam's got to be right, Kurt's got to be wrong, or Sam can make his points easier than Kurt can, and so therefore... It isn't about that. In my mind, what it's about is us really talking about these things and really saying, what is the best solution at this juncture? What solutions gravitate towards being on the table for discussions? How do we know when to back the good ones so that they actually take flight and make a difference? How do we know when and how to reject the bad ones? How do we? And sometimes I change my opinion, and sometimes Kurt and other people change their opinions. That's what the debate's about. Right. That's what this. I'll give you an example. I came out pretty bold against these new appointees from the Donald on the IRS, or I'm sorry, on the CIA and Michael. What's that guy's name, Kurt?
Well, you had Pompeo.
Yeah, Pompeo, Mike Pompeo. OK, and I came out pretty bold against them. Kurt and some of the Christian organizations were saying, well, maybe they're not so bad. Then Rand Paul comes out against them. I'm not here to win an argument. I'm here to make sure everybody has as much information as we can all get. And I might change my mind. Liberty Roundtable live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Sam, your voice has power, says Human Coalition, standing up for pro-life. Now they just sent me an email, Twitter, trying to shut down these people. They're speaking out. They're creating a petition. I just signed it. I hope you sign it. Okay, this is important stuff, folks. It says, Sam, thank you for signing the petition. So there you have it. Anyway, enough on that. I guess there's folks moving away, Kurt. Some people want to secede. Some people want to bring back the 17th Amendment. Some people want to have a con-con. Other people just want to flat out leave, huh, Kurt?
Yeah, the Breitbart boys are reporting the headline, Matt Damon moving his family to Australia over Trump's policies. Jerome Hudson's the author. If you don't know who Matt Damon is, he's the actor that did a bunch of those Jason Bourne movies. You know, he's pretty, impressive actor, in my opinion. But he's telling his friends and colleagues in Hollywood that he's moving the family to Australia. That's what an unnamed source told the outlet, which added that the reported decision to move his wife and four children, I mean, he's kind of an oddball, he's got a wife and four children in Hollywood, is because the activist actor disagrees with Trump's policies. Matt's saying the move will not impact his work, as he will travel to wherever his projects are shooting, and that phrase shooting kind of fits his because there's a lot of shooting going on. He's also telling friends he wants to have a safe place to raise his kids. The actor's reps didn't provide comment. Anyway, he's heading to Australia, looks like, Sam.
Well, you know, a lot of liberals really talked about doing this, Kurt, back in the day, but none of them really took it up on it. At least he has the guts to stick with his convictions, even though, yeah, I think he's up in the night. Right.
Yeah. By the way, he didn't really like Trump's border wall thing. He said, I'm not a believer in walls. And he was saying that while he was promoting what's a movie called The Great Wall, where he was a fantasy action film that ended up being a critical and box office bust. I never saw it. But anyway, one wall is OK, but the other wall. Mm-mm. Anyway, there you go.
It's weird, isn't it?
Matt Damon.
It's pretty weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, what a strange character. I just can't get over how many conservative groups are getting shut down right now, Kurt. Human Coalition just emailed me. They say last year the abortion lobby identified the Human Coalition as a legitimate threat to its work deceiving pregnant women, killing their babies, and using them for profit. They even tried to stop our work via a multi-pronged attack. Dozens of protesters gathered outside of our Atlanta Women's Care Clinic and lied to the media about what we do. Apple dropped our prayer app where we prayed for victims of abortion. A coordinated online smear campaign attempted to portray Human Coalition as a creepy organization, even going so far as to call Human Coalition a monster that perpetuates misogynist and white supremacist ideals. See? You wouldn't believe how ugly and mean-spirited these attacks were. And now Twitter has begun suppressing and silencing our pro-life messages. They removed our tweets that called out the abortion industry. We called it genocide. These tweets boldly said abortion is genocide. Abortion is not health care. Almost 80% of Planned Parenthood facilities are located in minority communities. Planned Parenthood aborts well over 900 babies a day. Anyway, bottom line is Twitter shutting it down, and they're asking us to sign a petition and get involved in stopping them. But again, I would say, hey, I appreciate it, Human Coalition, but why don't you fund Liberty Roundtable Live so we can build the new media? That's the only problem I have with these people. I agree with their points, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So headline says, Sam signs petition demanding that Twitter end its suppression of pro-life voices. Anyway, they're doing a good job, folks. Anyway, there you have it. I just don't know what to say about it, except for it's a serious issue. We're seeing more and more about this. All right. So I guess the disgraced media is in the news, Kurt.
Well, yeah, not surprisingly, you know, the old media is going away, Sam. The headline reads, disgraced media already hit with massive layoffs in 2018. It says, by the time Trump's presidency is over, one of the biggest pieces of fake news we will look back on is when we were told by the media that Trump was good for the media business. According to what is happening, by the way, this is a Breitbart piece, according to what is happening in a place called the real world, the truth is that business for the media is horrible. And I would say the mainstream media especially. Then they talk about the Denver Post that at one time, a little while back, 10 years ago, they employed about 600 journalists. Now they've got about 90% less in only a decade. But the bottom line is things are changing in the media world.
They're changing, and they're losing money and melting down and laying people off and shrinking. There's no doubt. And their gatekeeping position is being challenged by all of us. There's no doubt as the new media takes center stage. But just as much as they're getting shut down, you know what? We're struggling for the money that it takes for us to compete, Kurt.
Well, you're exactly right. And folks like us who... like you say, have day jobs and can, you know, fund it out of our pocket or whatever and get a few pennies from our good friends that help us out, you know, can maybe survive. The folks like the Denver Post, I think, with probably a massive budget and all that kind of stuff, they're slowly or maybe quickly going away.
We got to keep up the drumbeat, keep up the work. Yeah. We got to really work together, and we got to support folks like the Human Coalition. They got to support us. We got to support folks like Rand Paul and Mike Lee. We got to work together. We got to call abortion genocide. We got to say abortion is not health care. We got to talk about almost 80% of Planned Parenthood facilities are located in minority communities. We got to tie it back to Margaret Sanger and the pro-death movement. The disgraced media already hit with mass layoffs in 2018. We got to put our money where our mouth is and make sure we can grow. There's an opportunity of a lifetime, that's for sure.
There's one kind of funny part to this story right at the end of it. It says, this guy says, which reminds me, to protect Barack Obama's anemic economic recovery, our media tried to convince us that unemployment in the Obama era was really fun employment. When the working class... those our elite media despise lose their jobs to illegal immigrants, unfair trade deals, and oppressive and unnecessarily environmental regulations. The media will have dismissively suggested that they all catch up with the times and learn computer code. So this author says, so let me be the first to wish all these journalists, and he puts them in quote, a happy, fun employment and wish them luck. All the luck in the world with their new careers as computer coders.
Wow. Bring it on.
It was just a little bit funny, I think.
Amen to that. Jeff Sessions is in the news.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Sessions. Now, I'm trying. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, he gave Andy McCabe the boot this last weekend. And what was so amazing to me is, Sam, the guy was like 2 or 3 days away from having a federal pension secured and all that stuff. And somebody in government really let him go so that we weren't going to have to pay for him the rest of our days. I mean, that's almost unheard of.
It's good news,
it?
But do you believe it's true, Curtis? Do you think he'll wiggle his way?
I don't know for sure, but all I can say is I've just not ever seen it. What we typically see is, oh, man, you know, the evil guy in the federal government or the evil guy in the state or wherever it is, you know, now he's going to be put on paid leave, or he's going to, you know, we'll fire him just after his, pension kicks in, you know, or whatever. I mean, when did you see one of these things at least even being reported?
And the fact that it's been talked about, reported, Jeff Sessions might do it. Now it's up to us, the American people, to rally behind this effort to say, hey, don't give him a penny. And let's start the pattern of rejecting these people big time. And we got to do it when it comes to money. Anyway, great call. We got to keep an eye on that ball and help out. That's for sure. I guess there's a majority of Americans feel pretty strongly about something, huh, Kurt?
I guess so, Sam. You know, and I'm trying to remember what it is, but anyway.
Now, the majority of Americans think it's more important to keep manufacturing jobs in the United States, and even if it means a little bit higher prices.
Yeah, I mean, imagine the crazy guy who thinks, hey, man, I'd rather have a job so that I could buy something instead of just saying, hey, man, I got cheap products down there at the store. I mean, what kind of a crazy individual thinks like that?
A common sense kind that says, hey, you know what? If I don't have a job, I can't buy anything no matter how cheap it is. Things might be a little more expensive if I have a job, but I can actually make decisions with the money that I've got. That's the kind of guy that intelligently says that, Kurt.
That is kind of crazy.
People agree with Donald. That's why the mainstream press won't report it either.
Oh, good point.
All right, last story. There's 20 bad-to-the-bone combat warriors running for Congress, they claim, Kurt.
Well,
I got a question.
Yeah, Sam. Yeah?
Can you get these 20 on the radio with us so we can talk to them all?
Yeah, I'm going to wiggle my nose like the lady on Bewitched, and they'll all show up in the next 20 days.
Bring it on.
But anyways, WorldNet Daily piece says perhaps there's no better person to serve American Congress than one who has offered up his life in defense of her precious freedoms. Military veterans work well as a team, have a sense of duty, are disciplined, and know how to solve problems. They're mission-minded and hardworking, and their perseverance is off the charts. Only this author says only 18.8% of members of Congress have performed some form of military service, according to the Congressional Research Service. Perhaps it's no wonder Congress's approval rating has dipped to a shockingly low 15%. This author says, but we've got good news. Check out this list of the 20 biggest, baddest, super patriot warriors who are ready to lead America with integrity, civility, and courage. Now, we don't have time to really go through all 20 of these, but I'm just saying they're starting to show up, Sam, and so that's the good news. Right?
And you can save this story, by the way, Kurt, when we get more time. I wanted to tease the story because it's so good. It's WND.com. But we can also save it and break it down when we have, again, that's why we're 6 days a week, so we can have more time for some of these incredible stories. We got to have time to break this down. We can talk about who they are. Maybe some of them we can get on the radio. And again, this is the scenario where we just want to help. I'm glad WND.com reported this. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known anything about it, Kurt. And now the idea is, hey, these 20 guys standing up can make a difference. We can work with them. We can WND.com can talk about it. We can learn who's who. We can support the good guys. We can get a few more people elected, and some good things happen as the new media continues to take center stage. There's a lot of good going on, and we just want to be part of it, Kurt.
Amen to that, Sam. Good work.
All right, there you have it. 2 hours of hard-hitting talk radio in the can, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Widow's Mites Radio Network. That's why we need your financial support in every way possible. We don't ask you to fund our families, but we do ask you to help grow the new media taking center stage. He who owns the media makes the rules. It's never been more true than it is today. The shutdown is underway by the tyrannical swamp, and you and I got to stand against it at every turn, ladies and gentlemen. Please help. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com for hard-hitting Liberty Roundtable talk show and around-the-clock hard-hitting talk show hosts. We're grateful for your support and for everything that you do. Please tell all your friends, and I'm just telling you, without you, we wouldn't even be here. So thank you. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will save America. Will you help? This nation shall endure.